15 to 20 million.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. And as you know, our broadcast signal goes throughout the southeastern Pennsylvania area, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. As always, I'm going to ask that you contact family and friends and invite them to tune in. We're going to have another great broadcast today. And the more people tuning in is really helping us. And I want to say a special thank you to all of the radio broadcasters, the 21 radio broadcasters that rebroadcast my weekly commentary during their public service time, and invite people to come and tune in to our broadcast on the internet here at 860 AM. You can go right to the front page of American Workers Radio and click on the Listen Live link every Wednesday from 11 AM until 12 noon, or you can go anytime and just click on and listen. Simply go to the same page, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and click on the Listen Anytime link. First of all, I want to begin by saying a special thank you to some people who've done unbelievable work for this movement for many, many years. And they include Mark Andel, who's the founder of the Made in America store, his store in and near the Buffalo, New York area, is marking its 12th anniversary this year. This guy has done an enormous amount of good for the movement, for his community, and for American workers. The most important thing is that he never gave up, which is something I'm seeing in our national leadership, in the media. They don't help promote anyone or anything. They just do their own thing, and that is to just keep people fighting amongst themselves without any real way to help us to move forward and be better Americans. That's not on their agenda. And then there's Larkin Conley, a businessman, a man knowledgeable. He's a small business advocate, worked for SCORE, and has done a tremendous amount of work over the years helping the American-made movement. And of course, Larkin, like myself and so many of you, see that the people at the top have really went out of their way to degrade the whole operation by saying, oh, this is the American way, this is the global economy, it's a free market economy, all this nonsense, without taking the time to look to see how our future will benefit, how America's youth, how our children and grandchildren will benefit. Then there's Rich Loges. He's the principal of RJL Technology Integration, always with a good opinion, always speaking up and speaking his mind. Rich will not be with us today because he's out on a special assignment. And then there's our Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, always trying to make us sound good, no matter what little burps you may hear on the air during broadcast time. Henry will take care of them. And when it goes up on the air, for the people who listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the internet, it always sounds the best. And I'm Michael Blihash, your weekly host and the founder of American Workers Radio. And I certainly do what I can. And I'm on a number of radio broadcasts. I do have a lot of opinions that I share. Some people agree, some people don't. But my main goal is, how are we going to help Americans? America first, Americans. We live in America. We're not living in a global economy where we're going to be living and working in America today, and then tomorrow we'll be in some other country. At first, I would like to say thank you to Daniel Turner, who joined us last Wednesday. As you know, Daniel Turner is the founder and executive director of Power the Future. And he did a great job. I really enjoyed the feedback that I heard from people. Many people agree with what we're saying, but they can't get their state or national elected leaders, their congressmen, their senators, to even give them a basic response as to why this is going on and why this continues. Daniel Turner will be back with us in 3 weeks, so we'll be hearing more from him. And also, I wanted to mention, many people were contacting me because they're very upset about what happened as a result of President Biden's executive order without a lot of thinking, according to what 90% of the people that contact me. They say, well, you don't just all of a sudden rip the front door off your house without having a replacement. Otherwise, you have to sit there and wonder what's going to happen. Well, that's what happened. An executive order was put into effect, and no one really knew what was going to happen. And now we're suffering almost unbelievable. People are asking me to do some research and also to bring up to Daniel the next time he comes on, because in America, we do honor a lot of the pollution standards. We've been doing it for years. Our cars are inspected. You know, everything that we do, we've been doing that. However, the world is round. So if other countries are polluting, as the world turns, we are being the recipients of their pollution. And so this is a problem, too. It's affected climate change in many ways. But the main thing is the pollution standards in America have been obeyed. Just to give you a small idea of how things have gone is many of the countries that are on the list of working to do pollution standards. I'll give you just five of the countries. Out of 190 countries in the world, these are just a few results. The top non-polluter in the world is Denmark. Second is the United Kingdom. The United States is 24th on the list. Russia is 58th. Saudi Arabia is 90th. China is 120th. And India is 168th. Now, these are reports presented by Yale and Columbia University's Environmental Performance Index. I'm going to ask Daniel Turner when he returns to address this a little bit more, because people are concerned, because they're saying, We got all of a sudden everything that happened to us. Prices on our gas have doubled. Food has gone up astronomically. And it's all being seen now everywhere people shop. People are just saying, I'm sorry, I can't spend $2 when I'm earning $1. And that's the way it is. So they're spending less. And that's the way it's going to be. I even heard from some people at the shore points. They said a lot of people come in, they look at the stuff, they're on the boardwalk, they come in, but they're not buying the way they did in the past. They're holding back. And all this is as a result of one executive order, but mainly and most importantly, an executive order that really didn't have a start and a finish date. When you do something, you know where you're going. You're driving to the shore. You know it's so many miles. You'll have to have a full tank of gas. You know, when you get there, you'll have to refill to get back. This executive order did not do that. There was no, it was just, we're cutting, we're chopping. And so people are really, really concerned about all this. And they compliment all of us on this broadcast because we are speaking common sense issues. Bearing all that in mind, today I would like to spend a few minutes on discussing some of the past needs, mistakes that were made. Some of our needs have been wiped away. We made a lot of mistakes, but it wasn't done by America's consumers. It was done by national leader. And what they're doing now is they're just bypassing everything. If you remember, back in April, of 2021, shortly after the president signed his order. We saw what was already happening with the Keystone Pipeline and all. I said, this is going to turn ugly. And I contacted a good number of elected officials. I asked them if they would introduce some kind of legislation, not to cut the president's order, but to say, no, we have to continue research and development and digging and drilling for everything that we have here in the United States. And in the process of doing that, we would be able to then have statistics as to, you know, what can be done better in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. None of that was done. As a result of that, all these cuts have really hurt America to the point we're not going to be able to get back to any level of normalcy for a long, long time. When I talk to some elected officials, they say, Michael, it's too controversial. I know Mark loves that line. It's everything is controversial. It'll be a career ender for me if I introduced anything to go against the president of the United States. I said, but that's your job. You're supposed to be there to represent the people. What the hell is going on? Michael, please just leave me out of this for now. Let's see what happens. Then some people said, and this is another very interesting point. Some people said, well, we'll never be able to use this as a midterm issue if we stop it right away. People have to experience the pain of what something like this would do. I said I didn't like that answer either, because here we are now, almost 19 months after the beginning of the aftermath of the executive order, and no one's saying a word. It's like, oh, common, you know, thing. But most importantly, when I talk to the elected people, I say, look, Americans and all of you, and many of them have been there for quite some time, have watched 70,000 businesses that made products, the stuff you and I wear, we walk in, have in our homes, use in our homes. We watch those products be moved out of the United States to the country, to other countries, and you as an elected person did nothing. You never asked why they were leaving. What can you do to make them stay? I tell everybody, they did it to escape rising taxes, increasing regulations, and the growing cost of doing business in America. And those people say, yes, it's true, Michael, it's true. I said, well, why can't national leaders in Washington set a month aside? How are we going to improve the situation in America? Everything is on the agenda, but not how we're going to do something better for America. Well, if it was us and we were struck with all the rising taxes, increasing regulations, growing costs for everything in our life, we'd probably do the same thing. But see, that's what I'm saying for years and years. No one in the real national leadership made any, it's nothing documented, any plan to put some kind of a halt to help keep those businesses here. We're giving 10 years tax abatements on new homes in different, not only Pennsylvania, but in different states. And yet we don't want to help new businesses have a tax abatement to open up here in the USA. Before I say another word, I want to turn to Mark Andel. Mark, how are you doing? What are you thinking? Tell me something that you would like to see happen to get us back on the road to success.
How you doing, Mike? And I think Larkin's on, and Henry always, again, thank you for making us sound good. Mike, yeah, a lot going on. We're actually, we do that Erie County Fair, second largest county fair in the country. Believe it or not, we're starting to load it today. It's 2 weeks from today. So, you know, we're doing our part, and my team, we're thinner than usual, but our team's working harder than ever because, you know, worker shortage is out there. But, yeah, we're setting up a huge Made in America store, 6,000 square foot, and setting up our general welding display, which I made three times the size of last year. We've been doing it for just 33 years, Mike. So that's rolling right now. We're excited about that. you know, having fares back to normal, but we're worried about the disposable income, what people will have to spend. It's absolutely affecting us. And, Mike, if you're happy that fuel went down 10 cents, 20 cents, I just filled up my truck. You know, $125 got me a little less than three-quarters tank diesel. You can't be satisfied where we're at. You know, a couple of years ago, we were $2 in the $2, $3 range, and it's just a shame because fuel's affected everything. When I order a cam trailer from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, used to cost me $150. Yesterday, my brother said it was $450. One trailer, $450. So $150 freight to $450 per product. All, you know, adds up, and you got to pass it on. And I think, you know, I really think they tried to stop capitalism when you mentioned our president in all the executive orders. You know, really, for me, it stopped my industries. It stopped the military work we had. It stopped the oil and mining work. And then with the sanctions, so many things, like you said, a cart before the horse, no thought involved. And it's just hurting business owners. And it's hard. We're working harder than ever. I've got a great team, not a good team. And, you know, I picture if you shut off the news, Mike, and you said, hey, how does it affect your life if you didn't hear anything, if you didn't see anything on the news? For me, fuel. Absolutely, in my business, 2 to 3 times more money. You've got to pass that on. You can't absorb it. No work. You know, we're very light on work from our military work from Northrop Grumman got shut off immediately with the new administration. They put it on pause. The oil mining work got foiled. And just residential work. Most of the residential people that buy my trailers and products aren't buying them right now. They'll repair old. They'll borrow a trailer from a friend or a family member. But so we lost the residential market to our business. So we deal with residential, commercial, and industrial. Retail, commercial, industrial. But residential people, everybody's got this different disposable income. So we target right now the commercial and industrial because if you're getting a roof put on, most people have to have it done. So that roofer's hopefully still working. He may buy our trailer, may need repairs. So very hard on families these times. You're up to $400, $500 a month. A difference. Your dollar doesn't go as far as it did a year ago, and that's tremendous difference. So a lot going on, Mike. Made in America is strong. Our vendors are doing well. They still got the, you know, they're passing on their price increases, which we've never seen. It's unprecedented. Even a cam trailer from PA, it's 58% surcharge on that trailer from where we were a year ago. So you take the regular price and you add 58% to that price. So, and then you add Ford trucks. Like for us, we can't get trucks for our plows and to upfit them. When you add a dump body or a lift gate or a snow plow to a truck, it's called upfitting. We're looking for the F-250s, 350s, 450s. You can't even order a Ford F-250, 350, 450 till January of 2023. Then you will wait 6 months plus to get it. So that knocked out our sales market to put a lot of our plows and truck equipment on. So tough times indeed, Mike.
You know, I have a question, Mark. Has anyone in your area where you are, any elected person, local, state level or federal level, come to any of the business and say, wait a minute, we have to help you out in some way so that you are not going, you know, to be downsized because of this inflation and all that's hitting? Have you been contacted by anybody?
You know, Mike, back in June, I spent a half a day with Chris Jacobs, and I liked him a lot, and then he resigns. he was some hope. He's a good guy, but he resigns. He doesn't want to get into this politicized world, and that was a shame. No, nobody comes. You know, we want I want elected non-selfish leaders with business smarts, common sense. You know, they can say what they want about Donald Trump, but we were rock and rolling. We had disposable income. There was cash. People had money. It was a better time. Really, all Joe Biden had to do was sit back, you know, and just let it roll and don't put more regulation on us. And very tough times. And I think it's going to be worse before it gets better.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. He should have sat back. But the main thing is the executive order was put in place at the recommendation of people like John Kerry. And he was promoting that for 6 months prior to the election. The main thing is you didn't have any start or finish. It's like when you're getting your house fixed, the builder comes and he says, well, we'll be here a total of 8 days. and this is going to be the final cost, and this will be finished. We had none of that. It was just an executive order signed, and now the aftermath of this is turning into a nightmare, and people, unfortunately, are not willing or able is the word, to pay double for gas or 30 or 40 or 50% more for anything that they use in their house. It's affected people working, their offices. Yes, they got raises. So if they had 10 people, they went down to 9. And that's all. They said, we are able to do this, but when someone retires or someone quits, that person's not going to be replaced. And that's how they're going to make it up. And another thing that is, the people are really starting to see the facts that I talk about. And anybody can go right now and Google and just Google how many people retire a day in America. It's 10,000. The baby boomers are going to be still in that process for the next 10 years. And then, of course, after that, it's going to be even more insane because we have so many illegals in the country at this point that are not paying into taxes. People who are working under the table, they'll never be able to apply for Social Security. It is, but when the jobs report comes out, we have a great jobs market, 350,000 new jobs. I hate to inform them again, and I tell this to elected officials, and they say, you're right, but we can't go against what the new national news media is reporting. We have 300,000 people retiring or retiring forever to their maker, retiring per month, and they're happy that 320 or 350,000 new jobs. They are not new jobs. They're replacement jobs. When you look on the index, it says we're at the same unemployment level that we have been for the last year. That simply means they're not putting one and one together to make two. They're just saying we're going up with employment, but we're not really addressing the real facts that there is no real unemployment. It is replacement. So those people today, when they even go to the shore, the people tell me they're not buying like they used to. People used to come and buy shirts and, you know, dated shirts. Now they're looking just to wear whatever they have, and they're just looking around what's on the market. Some of the items, all made foreign, are up on the boardwalk in all those, you know, stores. And the people are just saying, I'm not going to do it. So we have, in a matter of 19 months, we have gone from a decent price range to prices where we see double. Can I turn to Larkin for a few minutes? Larkin, you've been listening to what we've been talking about. What do you have to say?
Good morning, Michael and Henry. It's great to be around. I hope the noise in the background isn't being picked up. It's my neighbor decided to cut his grass while I was on the radio. If it isn't one thing, it's another. And Mark's spot on. He always is. You know, the biggest thing to me is the fact that the government, Washington, and especially this president, and again, I don't want to talk politics because both parties are guilty. All they do is make excuses. I haven't heard my president say once to me, yeah, this is screwed up, and we're going to fix it by doing this, or we're going to fix it by doing that, or it's going to take this length of time, or, you know, none of that. None of it taking title to the issues that face this country. It's all recession. We're not having a recession. This is an economic adjustment.
Oh my God! I heard that.
hey, Mr. President, or Janet Yellen, who he sends up front. I don't care what you call it. All I'm telling you is that I walk into my grocery store with an $85 a budget for food for the week, and I come away with all the stuff on the bottom scratched off going, you know, we can't do that, can't have this, can't have that. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So I don't care, Mr. President, United States Senate, Congress, I don't care what you call it. How are you going to fix whatever you want to call it? You can call it bum squat. We're in a bum squat right now. And that's fine. I'll start calling it a bum squat. Just tell me what you're doing to get the country out of that. We were totally energy independent. And if anybody tries to tell you that energy isn't the absolute backbone of any world economy, they're crazy. So the fact that we were energy independent, we were net sellers, and now we're not, is absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, it's one excuse after the other, and it's unfortunate that you know, they keep on finding it necessary to make excuses. I'm tired of excuses.
Larkin.
This goes for the other party also, who could be really putting the hammer down and saying, okay, we want gun legislation, and we truly need some element of gun legislation. It's the Wild West out there, and I appreciate the Second Amendment. And it was written when, if you got mad at your neighbor, you pulled out a musket, you loaded the musket, you tamped down the powder, you loaded the projectile, you tamped it down, you picked it up the thing, you pulled back the trigger, you put the flint in, and by that time, generally you had a chance to cool down. And yeah, the guy isn't a bad guy. I'm not going to shoot and kill him. Now, all we have to do is reach under the seat of our car, and we can fire off 9 shots in a pistol most at times. And I've seen extended clips that will carry 15. So, you know, we just have to back off all of this and start acting like a civilized nation and make decisions that affect our country. That's all. You know, quite obviously very, very simple. But everybody be ready. Mr. President is coming out of his negative COVID test, or he had a negative COVID test this morning, and he's coming out to make remarks in the Rose Garden. And I can't wait to hear this. As Janet Yellen said yesterday, we're not in recession. We're in a bum squat. That's fine, Mr. President. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. Our economy's in a bum squat. But would you do me a favor and tell me what it is the government's going to do to stop this? And you're 100% right, Michael. The price of gas drops 15 cents a gallon, and everybody goes, well, we're getting well.
Right.
No,
right.
We aren't. We're still a buck and a half to a buck 70 higher than we were before the summer started. So give me a break.
No, and people, you know, there's committees in Washington to do just about everything. We've watched every type of committee in action on C-SPAN and everything else. But people ask me on a regular basis, can you identify any national leader who's in charge of getting businesses not to leave America, but to stay in America? And I say, I'm sorry, I don't know about that. Any person like that. Larkin, the Commerce Committee, which was set up many years ago, was to try to keep commerce moving very nicely in America. That sort of has gone on the way, way back burner. And the reason for that is 35 years ago, as the businesses started to leave America, the people in Washington said, well, this is the global economy, this is the free market economy. No one on any committee at that time said, wait a minute, what are we going to do for jobs for the people here in the United States of America? How about their children and their grandchildren? When they were asked those questions, they said, just like the president is saying, it's all going to work its way out. I don't know. Larkin, you read more and listen to more programs than I do. Do you know any committee, national committee, that's been operating to try to get businesses to remain in America that are considering to leave because they're being overtaxed, overregulated, and the price is not able to allow them to make a profit? In fact, they would be at a loss if they continued on this level where their gas went up. Is there such a committee in Washington to help businesses to stay in America?
I will say that there certainly isn't anything. The only place I have not searched, and the one I'm very most familiar with, is the SBA. But beyond their standard 7A, you know, standard loans to businesses, I don't know of anything that the government is doing to promote business. Listen, this guy became president, one party became president, and this guy took the mayor of Fort something, Indiana, I forget. And this guy's the mayor, and made him the Secretary of Transportation at a time where we needed somebody who desperately understood supply chain, because listen, supply chain is all part of transportation at one particular, at any particular juncture. And I'm telling you, this Pete Buttigieg wouldn't know how to start a bus, and probably has never ridden on a train before. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just absolutely amazing. And the Secretary of Commerce, absolutely nobody in this administration, can you look at the secretary, the person heading it, beyond secretary, defense and state. I'm talking about the guts of the country that, you know, makes the commerce run. Not a single one of them has a background in the department that they're running. Not one of them. Not a single one, but they all are great appointees because of their sex or religion or whatever grounds you get special points on. But I got some news for you. Right now, the African American vote is split 50-50 on should Biden run again, like 54 to 56. It's almost a split down the middle. Well, that wouldn't make any sense, would it? That'd be 110. But and they've completely lost the Latino vote. That is running way up on the senior 60s as to the number of whether Biden should vote run, and if he does, will they reelect him? So we're in for a huge adjustment. Here's the deal. We have to make so much noise when this adjustment comes, because now what do we expect? Mark, what do you expect? You expect something to get done.
Right.
Something to happen.
Yep.
Something to change.
Well, you know, it's a good point before I go to Mark. Larkin, the election is not that far away. And yet, we're hearing all bibble babble from these people. There's nothing coming out. There's no national media asking questions. They're saying, well, we are always doing our best. What is the best?
Yeah. You know, and where was everybody, Mike, you know, for July? July I call a vacuum month because I can't believe, I don't know if it went fast for you guys, but we're on the fifth weekend here of July, and August 1st is Monday. July is fast, a lot of vacations, a lot of, you know, but for me, a lot of businesses, the buyers are out. There's a lot of things on pause and on hold, and I think the same thing in our government, and I think they're always on vacation. But there wasn't much done in July. Now, here we come into August, September. You know, I'd like, you know, Larkin, what's your opinion on it? What's this fall look like? I mean, we've got major voting. Biden was probably the best thing that ever happened to the Republican Party. But what do you think happens this fall?
Well, let me put it to you this way. To me, the political future of this country is in an enormous position of questioning itself if the Republicans had the landslide election that is being predicted, and stuff doesn't start happening right away. I don't mean, 2 months to get committees lined up. I mean right away.
Right away.
That's going to happen.
Now, Larkin, I want to say this. I have not heard even one person in any state running for a national office say that if they get elected, they will introduce legislation that will return us to being an energy independence country. That's not going against the president's executive order. It's just restoring us to where we were at the turn of the decade. That would be in 2020. I mean, that's it. There's nobody willing to do that. They're all pussycats.
Well, they could pass legislation, but that's the only way they can do that.
They can do it, but nobody's willing to introduce it.
Well, we don't know what they're willing to introduce. They certainly haven't, you're right about one thing, they haven't committed to any political action in any sense of the term. But, they're going to have to pass legislation that circumvents the executive order that Biden wrote. What's going to be interesting is what's going to happen in the White House once all of this how is the White House and all of its departments, how are they going to react once the you-know-what hits the fan?
Right.
Right.
What it's going to do.
It's going to be interesting.
But here,
it will be interesting. But, what it's going to do, unfortunately, is give Biden, who is absolutely so adroit at this, going to give him excuses. Well, I can't get any legislation accomplished here because they're blocking everything I'm trying to do.
All right.
Let me say this. Let me just throw this in. And when that legislation is introduced to restore all of the drilling for gas and oil and everything else, opening the Keystone Pipeline, we are still going to be stuck with high prices for years and years and years, because all of a sudden prices are not going to drop. However, if those elected officials took the suggestions of many of the radio people that were promoting the idea of an emergency energy piece of legislation, we would never have gotten to the point of all this inflation. We would not be looking at prices in some cases that have doubled. It would have all been where it was, but everybody fearing for their career, not for the well-being of the American people, but for their career, not to introduce any type of legislation. You know, Larkin, it can be done in a legislative way. It could have been done 15 minutes after the president signed that legislation.
Well, not really, Michael.
No, it could, because they're not going after. They're not trying to destroy the president's executive order. They're just saying, we want all of the drilling and the making of the pipelines and everything else to remain as it is. And if the House and Senate votes for it and the president vetoes it, then they can just override the veto and move forward and everything would be as it was. But people feared doing that.
A 50-50 split, it's pretty tough to do.
At least it would be a step forward that we're trying to help our people, that one party or the other can say, we did try and we couldn't do it. No party tried. That's the bottom line. And here we are 18 months later. Everybody keeps saying to me, Michael, it's going to get better. I said, look, we have to live for today, not worry about tomorrow. We can't live in the past. You know, Larkin, every one of us would want to go to sleep tonight and wake up and be 21 years old tomorrow. Hey, let's be 21. Yo! But the thing is, it's not going to happen. We have to be realists. We have to live for today and tomorrow, not what happened 18 months ago, today. Let's get that legislation on the table to stop everything, open up all the pipelines, open up all the drilling. And another thing that is very unfortunate, and Daniel Turner will ask him to address that again. We are drilling for oil in the United States of America as we speak.
Oh, sure we are.
And they are sending that oil around the world because they have contracts. If it was President Biden, he should have said, hey, I'm going to keep all the oil that we drill for in the United States and give it to the American people to put it in their cars or whatever. He didn't do that. So 800, is it million? Yeah, 800 million barrels a day are being shipped all around the world, but not kept in America. That's the sad part of it, but nobody's talking about it. The people on the Sunday morning shows have been asked to address it. Oh, it's too controversial. They're worrying about all these shows, these, you know, the January 6th, everything that takes attention away from the real issues of what's happening in America and what's for the betterment of the American people. Yes, Mark, I'm sorry I
disagree. No, that's, you're just exactly right, but it, you know, it's just hard. I just think of the businesses that I know. Now, if you own a liquor store, you've done well right through the COVID, you know. That. But other businesses, generally in our area, the retail businesses are down 30 to 40%. We've had Halloween stuff coming out because, Larkin, as you know, and Mike, the supply chains were interrupted. They didn't get their product last fall, so they're trying to sell it now and early. So many things are going on. But when you're talking businesses down 30, 40%, in sales, and then, you know, the profit line would follow. We just got some serious problems. Like you said, this fall's major, but how fast, Larkin, like you said, do they react? We need change. We can't stop what's going on right now. We've got to survive it, but how long can you survive it?
Right. And I wish there was some political advisors who could say to these people running for re-election, you better get this on the table. Otherwise, it's going to turn ugly for us. It's just as bad. This will be give another small example. I'm asked very often, because I'm always talking about American made, if I know of any cell phone made in the United States of America. And my reply is, unfortunately not. Cell phones were invented in the United States of America and made in the United States of America for many years until some people wanted to get a price break. All the phones are made in China, Taiwan, South Korea, or Japan, and zero made in America where the cell phone was invented.
Here's one thing that you have. It's not just a matter of saying to China, okay, we're done. We're not buying cell phones over
no.
there anymore. We're building them here. Whoa. Take a deep breath. Because China, they're not a bunch of dummies. They own that technology.
That's right. They bought it.
They bought
that technology from Americans.
That's correct.
They bought that technology from Americans. There was no elected person, no president, no vice president. Nobody in Congress said, wait a minute, that was invented in America. We should at least keep 50% of it. Here in the United States, nothing, zero, Z-E-R-O.
But China's doing strategic moves. My father called me. Of course, my dad's 85, uncensored. Called me. China's buying up all the farmlands and out west and around our Area 51s. And, you know, we've seen this on TV. But China's making some major strategic moves.
Larkin, didn't you say that there's not a pig in America that's not owned by a specific country?
China bought Smithfield Ham, producer of processed pork in the world. Now owns 100% of Smithfield family, sold the entire company to Japan.
Now the question is, did
number two and number three also? So, Texas company.
But you know what, Larkin? Here's the thing that I think is a very good conversation, and a lot of the people that stop me are getting a lot of good discussion today. You mean to tell me that the Department of Commerce, when you make that kind of a purchase, It just doesn't happen at the snap of a finger. It has to go through a few processes. You have to buy the rights to the name and everything else. People are baffled to know that all of that is able to be done, and no national person in the Department of Commerce or anybody else could say, is there anything we can do to find a customer here in the United States of America to keep that name here in the USA, to keep those jobs in the USA? Yes, majority of those people are employed, but their company is not owned by the company that's employing them. That's the problem. The Department of Commerce in the United States of America for 35 years dropped everything on the floor, and they're just looking around in a daze. When people ask me questions, they say, look, Michael, I'm watching things on television, and everybody who's making something in America is promoting the fact that it's made in America.
Yeah, we talk about Federal Trade Commission laws, and 50% has to be made here, 50% overseas. It could be, bear the name Made in America, and there's a lot more to that. And they've got some fines coming up, and thank God for country of origin laws. But I just had a chance to talk to a gentleman that owned three plants in North Carolina that made basically shirts and garments, and he said what you don't know is a lot of our material, our cotton and material, are sold back to the Chinese. And then the Chinese finishes the product and sells it back to us. And that's happening right now. A lot of our product, instead of going to American manufacturers, are going overseas. They have it assembled with cheaper labor and brought back to us. So, there's so much to this with the overseas. I wasn't against the, different rules and prices that, Donald Trump put on them with the tariffs, because it caused and forced them to rethink and force our people to rethink where they make their product.
Right. You're exactly right. And everything should be tariffed. As I mentioned 1,000 times, and I've traveled to Europe 9 times, I know exactly how this system works. The story is, when you buy something in Europe that's not made within the country, you pay a value-added tax. It's called a VAT tax. It's like an extra sales tax. In other words, you would pay a sales tax, the local country sales tax, then you would pay a VAT tax. In our country, they were supposed to put those tariffs at the point of entry, which means at the shipping port, when the ship came in, the container contained all this stuff, there would be a tariff on it. And that tariff, I suggested 20 years ago, that those tariffs should be used toward to paying unemployed people, and also to pay people to go to skill training programs so that they could learn the new skills. The people who are retiring today, people are calling around. I work in human services. People contact me all the time asking, do you have anybody qualified in this field? We can't find anybody. This is something 25 years ago. These people were available because they came. They graduated from a high school that gave those types of programs, those trade programs. There's nothing coming out of school. In fact, in Pennsylvania, they're fighting over restoring the trades in certain areas. The parents are attacking.
Great question, though. A great question is, where does the tariff money that was collected, because Donald Trump put tariffs on China and whatnot, and it should be, it's got to be a win-win both ways, but where does that tariff money go? I think we talked about it a few times here. We never knew where that pool of money goes.
And no one ever would answer it for me. No one ever would answer it. So if it went into some slush fund or whatever, as somebody said, to improve the ports.
China's buying most of the ports.
Right. China owns most of the ports here in the United States. They own 90% of the containers that are coming in the whole world. We own very few ships now that bring the containers over. It's all owned by Germany, China, Japan, you name it, everybody but America. You mean our Department of Commerce never saw this happening and said what we've been saying for 20 years? How about a 50-50 balance like there is in Canada? 50-50 balance.
50-50? This is where Washington is falling completely asleep at the switch.
Absolutely.
We are in the throes of a complete change in the balance of power in this on this planet. It's happening. It's coming. We face it every day. Something new happens. It's just maddening. I'm trying to find out, because I think the number would just absolutely fry your brain, how much of New York City is owned by foreign companies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, how much, Larkin, it'd be like with a company, if you sold off 75%, you're 100% owner, you sell off 75% of your equity, you're not the owner no more. You're an employee.
That's right.
At what point do we decide that we become the tail?
Yeah.
In this whole thing, and we're just getting wagged all over the place. Do we say, okay, here's the deal. If you own dirt in this country, take the title lot and burn it, because the government's taking over all property that's owned by foreign. But I mean, I don't know what the answer is.
But Larkin,
we've
been sold out.
Right. And you know, Larkin, it would be good. It would be good, but you can't accomplish it. Not on the national media shows, not on local shows. If you could bring in some very well-respected elected officials to talk about these issues, but they fear speaking, their words could be come back to haunt them. That's the sad part of what's going on in America for the last 35, maybe 40 years. Nobody wants to say what's really on their mind. They say to me, Mr. Blihosh, we're doing a lot of good things in this country. I said, yes, but you're not worrying about the workers of today, and you're not worried about the workers of tomorrow, which happen to be many people in my family, and the grandchildren and their children and their grandchildren. We're not worried about that. There's more to it than you realize. These statements, these canned bull statements, drive me insane. I never understand what it's all about. I don't understand that people call our office asking, is there a possibility of, I need people to fill this kind of job or that kind of job. People don't even are fearful now since the pandemic to even do house calls, nurses, aides and things like that. They're afraid because they want, you know, guarantees. Everything has to be guaranteed. Before the pandemic, it was a little easier. Right now, it's extremely difficult. I spoke to someone yesterday, very sincere and wonderful person who runs one of the agencies, and said, Michael, it's really unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And when you discuss things on the radio, you're not talking nonsense. You're talking the basics. These are now the basics. It's not something that's off the wall. These are the basic things confronting us each day of the week. People in America, we're talking about those the things that we need for our car, all these parts for the car that are coming from foreign lands, the chips and everything else.
Computer chips. Yep.
Computer chips. Wait a minute. We made those chips in the United States of America. Now all of a sudden we're begging to have those chips brought in so we can put them in the cars and get them for sale? What the hell is going on? It makes no sense to me.
So let me qualify a remark that I made, because I may in temper have been exaggerated a little. Apple, like many multinationals, depends on a vast global system or a global supply chain that includes multiple companies and countries, each with its own expertise and advantages. So if India is manufacturing a battery for an Apple device that it exports to China, where all iPhones are assembled, and we're spurring employment in so many different countries. It's not even funny. India, Taiwan, China, Japan. It's just crazy. India might not own the technology behind that battery, But let me ask you a question. Do they have the technology in the palm of their hands? Do they know? Is there anything secret about how to build that battery and the effectiveness and the quality of that battery? So they may not know, own the technology, but they have the technology in the palm of their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing we have that we can say, well, you know, we can take the battery away from them and they can't manufacture it anymore. Says who? I hope I clarified that.
Yes, you did. But I want to ask everybody listening in, and I'm asking Mark and Larkin and Rich and everybody, Jason Kilmeyer, everybody, contact your elected officials and ask them what are they doing to help businesses remain in America and attract more businesses to America. That question alone they'll freeze on, because most of them are afraid to do anything outside what their caucus leadership tells them to do. We do more on this broadcast than most of those people have the brass to do in amongst their caucus. It's really the fact. Some of them are pussycats. Michael, you don't understand. I do understand. Get off your butt and do something positive. If you have to go against somebody, you'll have 10 people join you. They need one person to be the leader. Be the leader. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you to Larkin Conley and to Mark Andel. We missed Rich Loges. We will be back again next Wednesday, and I'm asking all of you to contact your not only your local officials, but your national people, and also contact family members and friends and share a copy of our broadcast with them. By sharing that broadcast, email it to them. It'll be out in a few hours on the internet. Email it to them and get more people involved. And my thanks once again to the radio broadcasters that repeat our show and also repeat my commentary during their public service time. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11, I wish you and yours, may God bless you and all of your family and friends.
All right. Have a great week, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks, Michael, Henry. Have a great week.